Many airline links to New Zealand are hanging by a thread. The Board of Airline Representatives, or BARNZ, Barnes, has warned. The number of airlines servicing New Zealand was at 30 before the pandemic hit, but that figure has plummeted to just 8 passenger carriers and 4 freight carriers, with international arrivals arrivers down 98%. So the group is calling for a more nuanced approach to opening up the country's borders. Barnes Executive Director Justin T. Gumbers is with me now. Justin, kia ora.
Kia ora, Wallace.
What do you say to those figures? Quite the plummet, isn't it?
Yeah, look, airlines have taken an absolute battering this year, as everyone's seen internationally, and in particular into New Zealand. New Zealand's just such a challenging place to operate at the moment, particularly with the MIQ hotel accommodation. And just to paint a bit of a picture of it, it's not uncommon for airlines to turn up at the moment with, you know, a 300-seat aircraft with just 30 passengers or fewer on board. So it's really hard going for them.
What's your concerns? You're concerned that New Zealand will be left behind?
Yeah, look, there's a couple of concerns. I think it's we can't afford to take these air links for granted. They're such sources of value for New Zealand in terms of contributing to the $17 billion worth of tourism each year. But not only that, there's actually belly holds full of export. $400 million goes out on a daily flight each year for our exporters. And then there's things like foreign direct investment. You know, over $100 billion of that comes into New Zealand, and they're not the sort of deals that you do over Zoom. So we've got to value our links and make sure that we can hang on to them. And I think one of the ways we can do that is taking a more nuanced approach to the border.
Right. Now, there was a blog post, I think it was put up today, from Otago University professors Nick Wilson and Michael Baker, both epidemiologists, quoting, "There remains scope for New Zealand to use more science-based risk assessment as part of our border controls, such as the traffic light system." I understand a traffic light system is what you're calling for.
Yeah, look, that's exactly right, and I agree with them. I think there's certainly more scope to do that. At the moment, we've got a very blunt instrument, so it doesn't matter whether you're coming from Taiwan or from New York, we're putting you into an expensive and scarce 14-day hotel accommodation for quarantine when the risks are very different. And I think the nuance in there, a traffic light system would mean to your higher at-risk countries, your red countries, you go into the 14-day quarantine. At the other end, you've got safe zones, which we really need to open up as soon as we can. And the Pacific, the Cooks and Australia are certainly looking ready to from a COVID perspective. But then in between, you've got other low-risk countries like a Taiwan or a South Korea that may have a little bit of COVID, but not much. And in there, we can start doing measures such as pre-flight testing, and then arrival testing, and then possibly contemplate shorter quarantine as well. And what that'll do is inject a whole lot of lifeblood in terms of passenger flow into the airlines and help these links be more viable.
Amy, what are your thoughts? Who would have thought 1 year ago today, listening to this, going the devastation wrought on the airline industry, right?
Yeah, what a year, right? Look, I agree with the traffic light approach. I've been saying for a while it's ridiculous that we have this everything's shut until the world is vaccinated approach. We just can't live like that. It's not just about New Zealanders heading off for a holiday. This is our lifeblood. We're a small trading nation at the bottom of the world. We've got to figure out a way to open safely. Now, that's not a baby out with the bathwater, but there must be ways that we can, as was said in that piece, identify the safe zones, give them a lighter touch, you know, pre-departure testing, rapid testing on arrival, some sort of home quarantine, right through to a much more stringent approach for the high-risk countries. How long are we going to sit there with the drawbridge up saying, go away, rest of the world? I don't see it being a viable way forward. If we're going to have those critical connections maintained, we're going to have to do something pretty smartly.
Sam, your thoughts to Justin?
Yeah, I agree with what's been said, and I think I just hope the government actually does it continues to experiment. It has to try things. They might not always get it right, but they've got to keep trying to reduce having the 2-week thing, particularly with Australia and the Cook Islands and the Pacific. I mean, that was an interesting quote that you said, Justin, in your report, or maybe it was in the Herald, just on the 40% of people in the quarantine are from the Cooks or Australia.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. And that's a huge win right there if we get the Tasman stood up. And then that'll allow a whole lot of other Kiwis to be able to return home from more at-risk countries as well. So it just makes total sense.
Just finally, I don't want to sort of dramatise it, but you know, compared to sort of a withering on the vine, how long can these links continue if they're not well maintained, well serviced? I mean, how much lifeblood do they have this time in a year?
Yeah, well, look, what happened is, fortunately, at the very beginning, the government moved quickly and did put in place an international air freight capacity scheme. And what that's done is allowed the government to top up our passenger flights and some cargo flights into New Zealand to keep them there and basically help to cover the operating costs, which you can't do when you're only carrying 30 passengers, of course. That's managed to hang on, and that's why we've still got these 12 links going through to other countries. So it's going to be a period of the government extends that through to 2021. Without that, I think we would lose the vast majority of the remaining links by mid this year, because the airlines just simply aren't in a position to lose money.
All right. Barnes Executive Director Justin T. Gumpers, thank you very much for your time. Meanwhile, used to having our own company, Amy Aotearoa, how does that sit with you? I mean, how is your, you've travelled a bit, how has your mind shifted when it comes to travelling?
Strange, isn't it? It's just a sort of a sense of the new normal, and I think it's not knowing how long it runs for. I think it's fantastic seeing New Zealanders getting out there and exploring New Zealand. That, I mean, the number of Aucklanders have discovered that we've got a South Island has been something to behold. Actually, they can actually start to stuff off again now. But I mean, that's a beautiful thing. But it's just that sense of thinking, when will it ever go back to normal? Will it go back to normal? What does that look like? You know, how is travel going to be over the next 5-10 years? It's a bit surreal, but we're adapting.
All right. Hey, you both have been fantastic on the panel. I really appreciate it. Sam Johnson, Amy Adams.